fulfillment of your realm of justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to be reading from Jeremiah 23, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. And that is on page 725 in your Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Holy wisdom, holy words.
Our next reading is from the epistle, Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transformed and transferred us into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And now the gospel reading, the Gospel of Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 33. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right hand and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, quote, "This is the king of the Jews," end quote. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we're getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is Christ the King Sunday, and our gospel lesson takes us to the foot of the cross, an unlikely place to find a king. When we hear the word cross in this day and time, the first thing we might think of is a religious symbol. We might see the beautiful brass cross sitting on the table in front of us. We might think of the crosses mounted on our beautiful stained glass windows. We might think of a favorite piece of jewelry or a favorite piece of art. But in Jesus' time, the cross was an instrument of death and torture. It's as if we turned an electric chair or a hangman's gallows into a religious symbol. We would not expect to find a king, a savior, or a messiah in an electric chair. We would not expect to find a king, a savior, or a messiah hanging from a rope on the gallows. A place of execution is a strange place to find a king. Yet, Luke's account has one of the criminals hanging near Jesus, recognizing Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." Apparently, Jesus' reputation as Messiah, the anointed one, the sign of a king, preceded him. Indeed, Pilate had the sign declaring the charges against Jesus inscribed with "King of the Jews." But this criminal was referring to something more than the ability of an earthly king. He was referring to the idea that Jesus could save himself and them. Something beyond human. Doesn't this sound familiar? The words of the first criminal sound remarkably like the words of Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry. In Luke 4, Satan says, "If you're the Son of God, change stones into bread. Leap from the temple and be caught by angels. And worship me. And I'll give you power." Each of these temptations imply that someone with the status of the Son of God, Messiah, and King would exercise his power to take care of himself and establish his authority. Likewise, this first thief makes the same argument. If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. In the logic of the world, this seems reasonable. If you have the ability to save yourself, shouldn't you? If you have the ability to save others, shouldn't you? Isn't that what a king would do? This reminds me of Herod's song in the rock musical Jesus Christ Superstar by Andrew Lloyd Webber. Herod says, "Jesus, I'm overwhelmed, overjoyed to meet you face to face. You've been making quite a name all over the place, healing cripples, raising from the dead, and now I understand you're God. At least that's what you've said. So you are the Christ, the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me you're divine. Change my water into wine. That's all you need do. Then I'll know it's all true. Come on, King of the Jews. Jesus, you just won't believe the hit that you've made around here. You are the talk about the wonder of the year. Oh, what a pity if it's all a lie. Still, I'm sure that you can rock the cynics if you try. So you're the Christ, the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. If you do that for me, then I'll let you go free. Come on, King of the Jews. I only ask what I'd ask any superstar. What is it that you've got that puts you where you are. I'm waiting. Yes, I'm a captive fan. I'm dying to be shown that you're not just any man. So if you are the Christ, yes, the great Jesus Christ, feed my household with this bread. You can do it standing on your head. Or something gone wrong, Jesus. Why do you take so long? Come on, King of the Jews. Remarkably, the second thief recognizes a different kind of king. He recognizes a king who has a different kind of kingdom. The second criminal says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What is it about Jesus hanging from an executioner's post that tells the second criminal that Jesus is a king? Like these two criminals, we stand at the foot of the cross with a decision to make. Do we see Jesus as a source of earthly power who can solve our earthly problems like the king we want Jesus to be? Do we see Jesus as someone who can entertain us and work wonders like Herod wanted him to do? Or do we just recognize Jesus as the Son of God who ushers in a new kind of kingdom? Are we lost in our worldly concerns? Or do we seek to live as kingdom people in a new kind of kingdom? We've come to the final Sunday in year C of the lectionary, the year that emphasizes the Gospel of Luke. We've journeyed with Luke and with Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem and to the cross. What have we learned on this journey? Have we learned what Jesus means when he speaks of the kingdom of God? Are we going to sing with Herod, prove to me you're divine, change my water into wine? Or are we going to pray with the second criminal, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom? Do we see Jesus as a means to our own ends? Or do we marvel at the Lord who forgives them, who know not what they do, even as he experiences excruciating pain? Do we scoff with Herod at the king who will not exploit his power? Or do we worship the Lord who inexplicably forgives us while we're still perpetuating our own sins? What kind of king do we recognize? The king in this passage willingly hangs from a cross and forgives those who commit this atrocity, even though they don't ask for forgiveness. The king in this passage forgives them, a pronoun without an antecedent. That is, a pronoun which refers to a group of people who are not defined. Who's them? Them is us. And them is a group who do not understand. Clearly, forgiveness extends by Jesus is not based on understanding. Thanks be to Jesus that we do not have to understand to experience his forgiveness. Finally, what is the result of Jesus' saving act? Jesus, our Lord and our King, restores our relationship with God, who created us to live with him in paradise. Paradise is a word that is derived from a Persian word for a kingly garden. The original use of the word in the Bible refers to the Garden of Eden, which was God's created place for humanity. King Jesus tells the criminal who asked him to remember him that today you will be with me in paradise. For me, this is one of the most beautiful and reassuring passages in the Bible. We have from Jesus' own lips that grace extends to the convicted criminal beside him. The criminal does not ask for forgiveness of his sins. He doesn't state his faith using the Apostles' Creed. He merely asks to be remembered. Jesus does not ask for a profession of faith. He merely extends the reassurance that today you will be with me in paradise. This reassurance affirms the existence of life after death as clearly as anything in the Bible. We also need to note what does not happen. Jesus does not look at the other criminal and says, "Today you will rot in hell." Now, some have drawn the conclusion that the one criminal who recognizes Jesus as a different kind of king is rewarded and the other is not. But that is jumping to a conclusion that is not warranted by the text. It is entirely possible that both see Jesus in paradise, because entrance into the kingdom is not a matter of merit, but a matter of grace. God extends that grace to whomever God will, not to whomever we choose. Consequently, as John Calvin said, we should treat everyone as if they are the elect of God. Today, we, with the second criminal on the cross, acknowledge that Christ is King. Today, we remember what our King has done for us. Today, we come as kingdom people, remembering Jesus and looking forward to the day when we will be with Him in paradise. Thanks be to God. Amen. Having heard the Word of God read, sung, rung, and proclaimed, let us say what we believe using the words from the Confession of 1967 printed in your bulletin. Please stand as you're able. What do you believe? Biblical visions and images of the rule of Christ, such as a heavenly city, the household of God, a new heaven and earth, a marriage feast, and an unending day culminate in the image of the kingdom. The kingdom represents God's triumph over all that resists the divine will and disrupts God's creation. Already God's reign is present as a ferment in the world, stirring hope in all people and preparing the world to receive its ultimate judgment and redemption. With an urgency born of this hope, the church applies itself to present tasks and strives for a better world. It does not identify limited progress with the kingdom of God on earth, nor does it despair in the face of disappointment and defeat. In steadfast hope, the church looks beyond all partial achievement to the final triumph of God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 187, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
Please be seated. There is only one Lord and God from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward?
Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for you have chosen the poverty of the world to make your people rich in faith. Help us to put our faith into practice through the offering of our lives, giving food to the hungry, clothes to the naked, and shelter to the poor, for all the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King, your Word made flesh. Amen. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Rejoicing in God's promise of new creation, let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, God, our Savior. We pray for the church. Make us faithful in our witness to the promise of your coming reign, so that all may know your glory and grace. God, our Savior. We pray for our communities. By your tender mercy, O God, give light to those who wait in darkness, and guide our feet in paths of peace. God, our Savior.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the world. Raise up good leaders among the nations who seek justice and righteousness and care for their people. God, our Savior.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the earth. Inspire our leaders to find ways of prosperity and conservation. Grant us wisdom in the choices we make. God, our Savior.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for loved ones. Give peace to those who are suffering, and remember those who are dying. Give them a place with you in paradise. God, our Savior.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful and almighty God, as you are one, make us one with you through Jesus Christ, whom you have sent to redeem us, and in whose holy name we pray. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 647, Give Thanks.
Holy One, give thanks because forgiven.
let's begin by giving thanks for the food we're about to partake of in the fellowship hall at our Thanksgiving celebration. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the bounty which you have shared with us. Thank you for the hands that have prepared the food, for the farmers that grew the food, for the truckers that shipped the food. And be with all those, Lord, who do not have a meal today to celebrate. Lord, we thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Trust Christ Jesus, a different kind of king. Trust that he will forgive you no matter what. Trust that he goes to prepare a place for you in paradise. Live with the gratitude that Jesus' kingly sacrifice deserves. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.